Redux is an adjective meaning brought back or bringing back. Welcome to Make Sure Stories Redux, selected tales edited and re-recorded from the last 10 years of the podcast. Relax, let the world go by and open your imagination as we drop back to August 13th, 2012 to listen to Blackout, read by Bolt O'Kenny.
B5, once again under the B5.
The calm, almost robotic-like voice repeated over the constant din. To Kayla, it felt like it had been only moments since she and her friends had walked the moonlit shores on the famous white sands of the Grand Glees Beach Resort. It was supposed to be the vacation of a lifetime, two full phases on the exclusive holiday moon. The online ads had featured happy swarms leisurely skittering on the surf, their hard-shelled legs kicking up cool, salty sprays of tepid water. Kayla had worked hard for this trip, taking extra shifts whenever she could, and yes, she had read the sensational stories on the tabloid sites about the endless stream of wild parties which spontaneously occurred at the resort and frequently ended with someone claiming they had been abducted by aliens, experimented on, and returned by sunup. There was no life anywhere else in the universe. Everyone knew that, at least anyone who was a rational person, so the claims of alien abduction were at best pathetic attempts to grab a moment of notoriety, she had cynically reasoned. But now, Kayla wasn't so sure. The dream she appeared to be a captive in was starting to make her question common sense. Kayla knew if there was anything that could have disproved the current scientific doctrine on alien life, the place she was dreaming about was definitely it. It was a dream, she reassured herself. Wasn't it? After one particularly late party, Kayla's memory of events was a bit jumbled. She vaguely recalled everyone trying to spook each other out with weird and gruesome alien encounter stories. Sometime later, she had found herself leisurely walking alone along a moonlit beach, its sand still radiating the heat of the day up through her 4 feet, daring something to happen when she heard a high-pitched noise. The roar of the breakers had suddenly stopped, and the surface of the normally rough ocean went glassy smooth, like a frozen methane sea on Gliese 4's sister moon. There had been a brilliant flash of light, the mumbling of indiscernible voices, the eerie sensation of floating, disorientation, then waking up in a persistent dream, here, whatever here was. Kayla peered around her. The air was a fog of tobacco smoke so thick it made her eyes water. Nondescript tables bled off in every direction, each occupied by the weirdest, unimaginable creatures Kayla had ever seen. Some appeared to be hairless mammals, while others vaguely resembled birds, fish, reptiles, and other forms Kayla couldn't even begin to guess at. But all seemed transfixed on small gridded screens filled with numbers, which littered the tables. They were all focused on doing the same thing, waiting, watching intently, and periodically dabbing with fingers, talons, claws, or pointed protuberances in loose sync with the calm voice which was calling out random letters and numbers at regular intervals.
N33, under the N33.
The omnipresent voice declared, and many in the room poked a screen or two in response. Others grunted in disapproval. Kayla pinched herself to try and wake up, but her senses kept insisting that she wasn't asleep. From the corner of her rear eye, she noticed that a two-legged, bilaterally symmetrical, hairless mammal-like thing was rapidly approaching. The creature wore a vest with the word Cellar emblazoned in bold white letters across what she suspected was a shellless chest. It wobbled up to her table and stopped, impatiently tapping one foot on the dark litter-covered floor. Kayla instinctively tried to push her head down into her carapace. Growing up, she had found mammals kind of icky. A friend of hers had kept one as a pet, and it always made her recoil when the thing tried to brush its disgusting body against the clean shell of her legs. Afterwards, she would find strands of its hair everywhere, even in her bedclothes. But looking more closely now, Kayla decided the creature looked like a cross between a slug and a mammal, which only served to increase its ugliness. And as if to strengthen her revulsion, the smell of its pheromones almost made her sick.
"Well, what'll it be?"
Kayla looked up at it through her rear eye, then turned to face it.
I don't understand."
"No one ever does, darling. But all you need to do is play."
It spat out.
"Play what?"
Kayla was beginning to lose what little patience she had.
"Look around, insect. I'm busy. I've got more than you to deal with. So how many do you want?"
Kayla shrugged. The rude creature shrugged back, then impatiently pulled 8 thin screens out of one of its pockets sewn into its apron. It threw them indignantly onto the table. Kayla was about to ask what they were for, when the smelly, ill-mannered thing suddenly turned and strode off towards an aquatic creature, holding one tentacle up out of its tank. As it left, the mammalian slug called back,
"Ask your neighbor at the end of this game,"
then hurried off as fast as its spindly legs would take it. Kayla was amazed that it didn't fall over.
"Huh. 2 legs? How absurd."
She muttered, then turned to the pile of screens on her table. Another number was called out over the low but constant background din.
G-51. Under the G-51.
The unenthusiastic voice announced. A square around the number 51 on one of the small screens flashed. The talon of the bird-like being at the table beside Kayla shot over like a bolt of lightning, touching the highlighted number. Instinctively, Kayla jumped back from the table.
"Sorry, it's too ingrained in me now. I hear, I daub. After a while, you don't even have to think about it."
Another number was called, and the avian quickly jabbed at 3 of her little screens.
"Don't worry, you've got nothing there. I already checked."
Kayla stared at her screens, still mystified by what was going on.
"All the noobs, I mean, new ones,"
the avian quickly corrected,
"react the same. It takes a while to catch on."
N-45.
The number cut through the thick, stale air. Then she noticed a square this time on a different screen flash. She tentatively touched its surface with her foreleg.
"Now you're getting it. Just keep going,"
the bird encouraged.
"But what am I getting? And where am I going?"
Kayla asked, still confused.
"Oh, I forgot they dropped you in mid-game. 1 row, any direction. Try to get one."
The bird went back to studying its screens.
"What happened to the last person who sat here?"
"Well, I think it was a he. 1, of course. That's the point. You're supposed to try to win. Then they call themselves Terrans, or something like that. They take you away."
She waggled 2 feathered arms in the air, making a set of virtual quotation marks.
"The winners don't come back. Maybe they let you go. That's the hope, anyway."
"And that isn't good?"
"It depends how you look at it."
Kayla noticed a tray of questionable-looking sausages float by, causing her to remember a horror story she had once read. Half-joking, she replied,
"Well, surely they aren't taking them off to be eaten."
The bird pondered.
"Never thought of that. I'll stop eating the sausages. Might explain the taste. They're called hot dogs. Not sure what a dog is. But then..."
The creature suddenly daubed at several screens arranged in a precise grid across her table.
Sorry, you need to anticipate the numbers. It takes a special type of concentration. You have to defocus your mind so the present flows over you. Then you can feel the potential number at the edge of your consciousness and daub. Rendillion. Rendillion. I seem to remember that was the name of the player before you. Rendillion had it down to an art, but the odds, if you're a player long enough, are against you. You'll eventually win, then be taken away.
So the point is not to win.
Kayla was more bewildered than ever.
We all do our best, but the odds are against you.
This Rendillion guy won, and they took him? To where?
Like I already said, who knows? No one has ever come back. At least while you daub, you are alive, and for the most part, not treated too badly. Anything you want, all you can eat, as long as you don't stop playing.
Its beak motioned to a silver tray, laden with brightly colored packs of what could have been food, float quietly by, then settle on the table of a hybrid reptilian flower, several seats down the row.
Anything you want. Just touch the icon in the top right corner of your table.
G51. Under the G51.
The ubiquitous voice echoed through the space.
My name is Wim Ta.
The bird-like creature whistled, then rapidly daubed at its screens.
Now, you need to play, or the Game Masters will notice.
Kayla turned back to her table, poking unenthusiastically at several squares which had briefly flashed. Frustrated, she leaned back into her chair, throwing two forelegs into the air in exasperation.
We have a winner!
The omnipresent male voice called.
Players! Please wait while the runners confirm the screen number.
A flustered-looking mammal rushed up behind Kayla and scanned her screens, then impatiently shook its head, bent over, and whispered into Kayla's ear in a menacing tone.
Don't hold two appendages up again, unless you have a pattern match on one of your screens. You need to listen to the caller. If you are having trouble hearing the numbers called, then use the hollow.
The smelly thing rudely leaned over Kayla and with one of its five short extensions at the end of its thin arm, touched a pulsing icon on the tabletop. Instantly, a three-dimensional image of another two-legged mammal standing beside a clear plastic box filled with small numbered bouncing balls materialized in the space above the table. The box reminded Kayla of some barely remembered physics diagram she had seen in college. She sat, mesmerized, watching as the Terran, she assumed was the thing calling the numbers, opened a little slot and allowed one ball to pop out. The ball instantly filled the entire floating illusion as the mammal spoke again.
G60. I repeat, under the G60.
The creature standing behind Kayla impatiently daubed at one of her screens.
Don't just sit there, play!
It demanded.
That's what you were brought here for. There's more than you can imagine depending on you. Now play!
It gestured to the small screens haphazardly scattered across Kayla's table.
And if you don't know the rules, ask a game master. What backwards part of the galaxy did they dig up the likes of you from anyway?
Kayla was about to answer when it rudely cut her off.
I can't believe it. How do they expect us to keep this going?
It waved its fleshy arms wildly around.
How are we supposed to keep the entire universe together with players like you who don't even know the first thing about playing the game? No wonder our stats are dangerously off. Jenny, who's in charge of new player acquisition this month?
It screamed into a small device strapped to one arm. Then it sprinted off, continuing to talk.
I've got words for them. We need a game master here at table 2114 for orientation. Quick, and don't tell me that they're all on break.
Stunned, Kayla watched, unsure of what to do as several ghostly or numbered balls popped up in the hollow over her desk. In response, a few random squares glowed on her screens.
"What should I do?"
Killa exclaimed, not expecting an answer.
"Play. You must play. Everything you know and care about might be at stake. We were already losing the probability threads before you arrived."
It was coming from a rather stout-looking bipedal mammal, who looked like they may have recently eaten her table's last unfortunate occupant. She stiffened as it came near, wafting clouds of nauseous pheromones past Kayla's nose, making her almost gag. It gave a heavy sigh.
"Another player that Acquisition didn't properly prepare. You're my 10th this shift alone. It's hard enough keeping everything in balance without... well, anyway."
It trailed off.
"Of course, you wouldn't know about that. How could you?"
Kayla shrugged.
"You weren't oriented. I bet Player Acquisition got behind again and decided to just drop you in, then cross their lazy little fingers hoping you would figure it out on your own. Well, some do, and some don't. You haven't got a clue, do you? And that's not good. Not good in the least."
The angry thing stood sweating for a second, then pulled a chair out of thin air and sat down beside Kayla.
"Well, this game is a loss already. That'll thoroughly mess things up. We might even lose sync with the zero-point field again. Do you have any idea how mad this makes me?"
Kayla instinctively cowered in her chair. It paused, focusing its two beady eyes on her.
"Of course you don't. Sorry, sometimes the staff acts as if there was just a silly game. Lucky for Acquisition that this time we had a safety margin built up. Still, this is not good, not good at all."
Kayla noticed the words, "Game Master," were printed across the creature's big, heaving chest. It looked at her neglected screens in disgust, then pointed to the hollow still floating above Kayla's table.
"You must start. You see those?"
The Game Master waggled its pudgy finger extensions.
"Those little spheres are not just numbered balls. They're the product of centuries of refinement in scientific visualization technology. They're analogs of probabilities over the vast distances in space and time. There are as many balls as players, if you hadn't already noticed. Each of you is selected for your entanglement to one and only one of those bouncing collections of probabilities."
Kayla stared at him, not comprehending.
"Oh, management always claims that I dive in too deep, too soon. Mix up the uninitiated and that sort of thing. You're still confused, right?"
Kayla nodded.
"Okay. Forget what I just said. Let's see. The game rules. That's all you need to know. The caller, that's the guy in the hollow. Listen to him at the start of the game. He'll tell you the pattern we're looking for. Like a line in any direction or a blackout, which means covering all the squares on one of your screens. It changes from game to game. You just need to listen, then whenever the caller pulls out a ball out of the clear plastic box and calls its number, like he's doing now, you look and daub with whatever you've got to daub with. On any screen that's got that number and letter combo. Got it? Simple, right?"
"But," Kayla shakily began, "is that it? How does the game end?"
"Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Someone either gets the pattern or we run out of balls."
"What happens then?"
"Come on, use your imagination. You have one, don't you? We play again, of course."
"Does it ever
end?" The Game Master cut in, then laughed. You all ask that. It ends when time runs out, and if you don't start playing, that might be sooner than it needs to be.
That's not an answer, Kayla protested. But if you win?
She cautiously continued.
You get replaced, don't you?
The Game Master formed its fleshy lips into a sinister smile, but said nothing.
Then what?
Kayla demanded. I've told you all you need to know. Now play! The Game Master grumbled. You can never tell what is depending on the outcome of a game.
And if I refuse to play?
Well, you get removed. Simple, right? Now play! We could be messing up something important, even now.
But what happens if you're removed?
Kayla stubbornly persisted. The Game Master's cheeks grew red with frustration. How should I know? I'm a Game Master. That's not my job. That's AR's business, Alien Resources, not mine. And if you don't play, well, we'll need 2, 3, maybe 4 of your kind to replace you to capture the probabilities you've lost and get things back on the right track. Think about how you got here. Do you want your friends to go through that too? Now play! Or, who knows, maybe we won't be able to predict and prevent what might happen in your neck of the universe. A missed pattern could mean an asteroid gets knocked out of its orbit. That's all it takes to start something, you know. It's like a game of pool. Once the balls start rolling, well, I don't suppose you know that game either. With another large sigh, the Game Master dismissed Kayla and walked away, barely managing to squeeze between the rows of tightly packed tables.
Bingo!
Sounds like we have a bingo over in the far corner,
the caller announced excitedly. Kayla looked around the murky room. She hadn't noticed where the thick, greasy clouds of smoke were coming from before. More than half of the players were spewing it out through short, white sticks that seemed to be glued to their nostrils, lips, gills, whatever. Noticing her expression, the bird creature leaned over.
It calms the nerves, or so I've been told. If you want some or something else, just ask the next floating tray.
Thanks, but no. What's a bingo?
Look at the letters across the top of your screens.
Oh?
Not O. It's the name of the game. You call it out and you make the pattern thereafter.
Embarrassed, Kayla looked away, noticing an insectile, somewhat like herself, reluctantly waving 2 front legs in the air. Several hairless bipedal mammals rushed towards the hapless being. What had Wim Ta called them? Terrans? No matter. The alien monsters converged on the poor insect and escorted the unfortunate being, who fought them all the way to an exit. Almost as soon as they had left, the empty seat was enveloped in a brilliant glow. A stunned, slug-like being materialized in the vacated seat. Kayla was no longer the newest player.
Looks like the screen has been validated. Are there any other bingos out there? Please identify yourselves.
A tense silence filled the hall.
Okay then,
the caller announced.
Next game will be a blackout. An easy one for you new players. Just cover all the squares on any screen. First ball.
B5 under the B. 5.
Now resigned to her fate, Kayla eyed her screens. 3 flashed, and she hesitantly daubed. The caller waited a moment, then continued.
Under the G, 69.
Several more areas lit on different screens. Kayla had no choice. The Game Master was glaring at her from the base of the caller's podium. So like a creature caught in an incomprehensible lab experiment, she daubed. The troll-like alien that Kayla knew had been watching her since she had arrived leaned over and croaked in a low tone.
With screens like that, you won't be here long. I've seen it before. Some players are just so well-tuned to the probabilities that the numbers come fast. Look, there's another and another.
With a claw, it rudely reached across and daubed Kayla's screens. She pushed it away, trying to ignore what she took for an unfriendly gesture. She had to admit, luck had seemed to follow her most of her life. Whenever there was a draw for a door prize, she usually won it, and she rarely lost a coin toss. But she wouldn't call ending up in this place a bit of good luck, and it seemed to continue. In a period of only a few measly minutes, two of her screens were mostly highlighted.
First time this shift, and we are at the last ball without a bingo! Let's hope this one's lucky!
The caller appeared to make some type of motion with his hand over his chest that made Kayla think he was invoking a mystical ritual.
I-11? That's under the eye. 11.
The room went silent. Kayla's heart stopped as an empty square blinked on a screen with only two squares left open. There would still be one empty, so with relief, she touched I-11, eager for the game to be over, then slumped back into her seat and said in relief to the bird,
"That was close. At least I'll last another game."
Wim Ta looked over, then contorted its beak-like mouth into what Kayla felt was a pitying smile.
"Well, well, new player, I hate to tell you, but that empty center square is free."
"I don't get it. What does that mean?"
Kayla demanded.
"You have a blackout. Your screen is covered. You've won. Beginner's unluck, I guess."
The meaning instantly sunk in. But before Kayla could dive under her little table to hide, Wim Ta was waving both her feathery arms and yelling,
"Hey, over here! The noob's got a bingo!"
"That was a close one,"
the caller said with visible relief.
"We have a bingo, folks!"
There was an audible sigh from all the Terrans. Several of the larger ones rushed towards Kayla's table as she realized that she was trapped. Kayla didn't struggle. Even in this hellish alien dream world, she wanted to keep her dignity. Next time they abducted someone from Galice, the upright mammalian slugs would have learned respect for her kind, she defiantly thought. With one escorting her on each side, Kayla trudged past the endless rows of tables filled with a menagerie of beings from every conceivable corner of the sentient universe, to a dark alcove where a small green door was cut into a nearly invisible wall. Warning signs in a multitude of languages, suggesting that entry was not a good idea, flashed their self-important messages. Noticing Kayla hesitate to walk through, one of her escorts proceeded to push her. As a small group squeezed through the narrow opening, Kayla found herself in a spacious, well-appointed room. The air was even free of the dense smoke outside. Her escorts waved her over to a tasteful designer lounger with adjustable leg rests. Taken by surprise, Kayla let her body ease into the oddly familiar form-fitting chair, luxuriating in its comfort.
"Ah, I see we picked right. The chair is from your world's most respected designers. It even comes in custom colors to set off your carapace. I apologize. Generally, we have a bit more time to prepare, so we had to take one from the showroom floor. Probability forecasting is supposed to warn player resources of the odds of something like this happening. Acquisition barely got you on the game floor, and now you're here."
A thin, frustrated-looking Terran that Kayla hadn't noticed before, flopped itself into a rather uncomfortable-looking L-shaped piece of furniture.
"Well, we did the best we could. Sorry about the color and pattern, but
it's going to have to do.
I suppose you prefer your dinner on a complimentary colored plate.
Regaining her composure, Kayla sarcastically hissed back.
Oh, no, no. You've got the wrong idea.
It tried to insist.
I am prepared.
Kayla spouted with a false swagger.
When are you sending the Game Master in to eat me?
The creature seemed taken aback. It talked quietly into a small box attached to its wrist. Kayla could not make out what it was saying, but didn't like its tone. In anticipation, she gripped the leg rests of her chair, expecting the worst. Noticing her reaction, the thin Terran frowned.
It was the avian, wasn't it? That's what got you all worked up. She always does that. She had an unusually long run of bad luck. Hasn't won yet. Was probably not a good choice to begin with. Player acquisition is supposed to go after the lucky ones. Everyone knows they're the most sensitive. What did she tell you? That the Game Master would eat you if you won? She had the last player at your table so scared he couldn't play. We had to take him off the floor. It was a real scramble to fill his seat. A real pain, you know. I can hardly wait until she's gone. She's very disruptive. Not helpful to the game at all.
He smiled predatorily and picked up a tray, pushing it toward her.
Snap?
Kayla pushed the suspicious tray away. The thin creature put it carefully down on a squat table, then leaned back into its chair.
Oh, the great game of bingo.
It began with a sigh.
Has been with my people for thousands of generations, but we never understood its true significance.
He seemed to conjure one of the insidious balls out of thin air, then examined it slowly in one hand.
There's a lot more going on here than what meets the eye. Did you know the universe is always on the edge of complete chaos? Comets colliding into stuff, the wrong elements stubbornly showing up like unwanted house guests. In the wrong place and time, stars going nova for no reason, etc., etc. Probability is a very precarious resource, which needs constant attention. If we simply let things go their own way, entropy would take over, and we don't want that, now do we? Our best minds and artificial intelligences were stumped for generations on how to stop this process, until one day, one of our physicists, in desperate need of funds to continue her research, decided to hold a bingo. As luck would have it, she used an artificial intelligence who had been working on her research as her bingo caller. Partway through the fundraiser, well, we were both shocked to realize the winning number sequences seemed to be better at predicting outcomes from probability fields than a millennium of research had been. Not only that, but playing the game seemed to keep entropy at bay. Worlds were less likely to get wiped out by some random act of nature and that sort of thing. The game somehow subtly influences space and time at the quantum level. We still don't know why, but it only works once for each player. As soon as someone wins, they can't replicate the effect again. Needless to say, in our relentless efforts to keep the universe from descending into chaos, we played with enthusiasm until we burned through our entire population. It was only natural that we had to expand the player pool. So, we built a bingo hall, here, in a more populous area of space and time, and cast our player acquisition net very broadly, so to speak. We've got the process down to an art. The proof that it works is that we are all still here. It grinned in a self-satisfied manner. As long as there is sentient life, the game can never stop.
Kayla snapped awake. The sun beat down gently, warming her dark carapace. She had fallen asleep reading the newspaper under a cabana near the beach. The sweet, salty air carried the sounds of young arachnids playing in rhythmic surf. Kayla picked up the newspaper and scanned the page she had been reading, noticing a peculiar headline.
Lost tourist found. Claims to have been abducted by extraterrestrials.
Redux is a Makeshift Stories production. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN podcasts, such as Tomato Radio or Assumptions, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. ATB, our network sponsor, has a new digital bank account. And the best part? There's basically no fees as long as you're doing most of your banking digitally. You also earn interest on higher balances. Check out ATB and all their great services at atb.com. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Bolt O'Kenny. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David Hume. If you'd like to connect with us or have other episodes you'd like us to release, please send an email to makeshiftstories.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Our contact information is also in the show notes. You can help us out by writing a review on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.